Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello everybody, my name's Nigel Jones and I'm Sales and Marketing Director at Practice Plan, and welcome to today's edition of Bodcast. The topic that we're looking at today is something that our practices have asked for help with, which is understanding the law in relation to rest periods and rest breaks, rotas, that kind of issue. And I'm very pleased to say I've been joined by Sarah Buxton to explore that issue. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks very much, Nigel.
So I wonder if you wouldn't mind just giving us a bit of an insight into your background.
I'm Sarah Buxton and I've been acting in the dental industry for 9 years now. I'm an employment and HR solicitor and a director of FTA Law. We're a law firm based in Leeds, and we act for dental practice managers and practice owners all over the country in all aspects of buying, selling and running a dental practice. But as I say, my main specialism is helping dental practices with their HR and management issues.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much for giving your time today. As I say, I'm particularly interested in this issue of rest periods and breaks. So I wonder if you could give us a bit of an insight into what the current law is in respect of those issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there is a piece of legislation called the Working Time Directive, and that sets out quite clearly that an employee has to have 20 minutes rest after 6 hours of work. And that does apply to most dental practices, and across the board, most dental practices will give more rest because they'll have an hour lunch or half an hour lunch. So that's the main element of the legislation that applies to dental practices. It does go on in more detail about if you're doing more monotonous work that they or a driving job, for example, they should actually be given more time to rest. But for dental practices, as long as you're giving them 20 minutes after 6 hours, you should be safe in adhering to that piece of legislation.
Okay. And if you don't adhere to the legislation, what are the consequences?
Well, the consequences are that, firstly, it can be a criminal offence. So it's quite important from a health and safety perspective that you do provide that break. But secondly, if you breach the Working Time Directive, the employee can have a claim against you for the payment they should have received had they taken that break, but also whatever the judge believes is just and equitable. So if you've, for example, not been given a break and have complained about it and the employer has still not done anything about it, you'll probably get a higher compensation payment than somebody who hasn't complained about it. So it's whatever the judge believes is fair on the day.
Okay, and we've mentioned about rotas as well. Mm-hmm. So how do they work in practice?
Yeah, I think it's really important with rotas that we don't imply this into the contract. I've come across quite a lot of disputes over pay and whether the relevant rest breaks have been provided because we've had a very informal arrangement with the staff about how the rota should work. So it's really important in the employment contract that you set out how many hours per week you expect that individual to work. So if they're working, let's say 24 hours a week, that should be stated in the employment contract, and you need to do that by law. Then on top of that, you can state what days you expect them to work. And if it's a rota, it may be that you expect them to work between Monday and Friday, and then you'd fit your 24 hours into that time span. And then as well in the contract, you have to state how much notice you will give them to publish that rota. So most practices will do it a month in advance, or maybe even two, to fit with their pay and how they pay the staff. But in my experience, because a lot of practice owners don't know how to draft this into the contract, they'll have a very informal arrangement, and then it's quite easy for the employee to claim different hours or claim that their contract is something that the employer never thought it was. So it can work however the practice owner wishes it to work, as long as you state how many hours you expect them to work in that rota and make sure that you put in the contract exactly how you expect that rota to work.
So given the importance of being clear about how many hours someone's going to work, one of the issues that I'd be interested in your view on is start times, because there'll be a lot of practices who require their staff to arrive, say, 10 or 15 minutes early, in inverted commas, in order to be ready to start work at 9 o'clock. How do practices, or how should practices handle that sort of situation?
Yeah, it's quite common, actually. I do get asked that question quite often when they have an employee who tries to claim that they shouldn't start till 9 o'clock because that's what's in their contract. But again, if you have a start time of 9 o'clock, but you expect that employee to be ready for 9 o'clock, there's no reason why you can't have a policy across the practice that people have to be ready to go into surgery. So that means uniform, scrubbed up, whatever it is that you need them to do in advance, and ask them to be at work for quarter to. And in that example, you wouldn't be changing their contractual hours. They're not due any overtime. It's just the policy of the practice that they have to be ready for 9 o'clock. I do know quite often that employees will say, well, that's not in my contract. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the contract. It just needs to be a very firm policy across the board. And then it's important in those circumstances that everyone's treated the same. So you're not just picking certain dental nurses, for example, who have to be ready. I think it's really important that maybe in a team meeting, you set the standard so that everybody knows what's happening, and you do follow up, because, again, it does tend to really affect morale if you've got certain nurses who are always ready on time, and then you've got one or two who roll in at 9 o'clock and then make the associate late and the patients are late, and that has a knock-on effect generally in the practice. So I think it's really important to set the standard and make sure that everybody adheres to it.
Okay, so that's interesting that I can take the point about setting the standard. But is the standard then to be ready for 9 o'clock, or is it to be here at quarter to nine? Because some people might argue, actually, it only takes me 2 or 3 minutes to get ready, so if I turn up at 5 to 9, surely that's okay.
Yeah, I think so. I'd agree. I think as long as they're ready for 9 o'clock, then absolutely that would be sufficient. I just think that if that's your start time and you need everybody ready, that's the point that you need to get across in your team meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. So what other sort of ways can employers protect themselves from issues arising from this?
I think the key is to make sure that you have a contract that's drafted to suit you and your practice. I think there's too many people downloading and using standard contracts and trying to either amend them themselves or not really fully understanding the consequences of some of the clauses in there. And then it actually doesn't match what's happening in practice. So that's the first step. You've got to have a contract that's drafted for you and your practice, and no two practices are the same. So a standard contract would not suffice, especially if you're looking at a rota. So that would be the first piece of advice I would provide. And secondly, it's making sure that you do follow through with that contract. And what I mean by that is it's no point having a contract if you're not following the terms of it, or you go off on a tangent and decide something else. It's absolutely fine for you to change your mind, but you've just got to make sure that the written agreement is updated to reflect that situation. And secondly, you've got to keep up to date with the law. And I know that's easier said than done, because it's constantly changing, and it's my full-time job to keep up to date with the employment legislation. And if you're a busy practice manager or dental practice owner, it's probably not the first thing on your mind. So you may need to take advice to help you, but it's constantly changing. So there's just been a case where it's been decided that if you're on call Actually, you should be paid for that time whilst you're on call. Mm. So if you've got nurses who maybe are not in the practice, but they're on call for emergency treatment, they really should be paid for their time where they're waiting by the phone. So that's been quite a current change. And I think that's only going to change moving forward. I can think of lots of scenarios, especially in my profession, where people are on the mobiles after work, after working time. But yeah, if you have anything like that in practice, then really they should be paid for that time. So it's just something to bear in mind.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you about the changing face of employment law and the need to stay up to date with that, because that's a fascinating case mm-hmm. that's just emerged there. And I guess there'll be some real implications for practices as a result of that on-call point.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much for your time today. That's been really interesting, Sarah, and really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.